Once again, it's time for ContraCast.
To ContraCast. This is episode number 6, which is actually pretty impressive considering that we don't have hardly any listeners and we usually record in basements. This is the first episode in the last several that we moved back to the Skype format rather than recording on one mic. I think that one mic really, it has a better like audio clarity, but I don't know, Skype is a lot more useful. So, without further ado, today we got four hosts, myself, Paul Kwiatkowski, my brother John Kwiatkowski, and then the brothers Michael and Stephen Pulowski. You can get in touch with me on twitter.com/ContraPaul, facebook.com/Kwiatkowski, and my blog, which you probably already found, which is ContraPaul.blogspot.com. Who wants to introduce himself first?
I'll go ahead. I'm Mike Pulowski. You can get in contact with me for through Twitter at MikePulowski@twitter.com, and you can get in contact with me through Facebook at Facebook.com/MPulowski.
I'm Stephen Pulowski. You can get in touch with me at Facebook.com/StephenPulowski. Also, same thing on Twitter. This past week, just been chilling out at the beach right now, currently enjoying some sunny weather. That's about it.
And I'm John Kwiatkowski. You can get in touch with me at Facebook.com/John.Kwiatkowski and Twitter at J_Kwiatkowski. And back to you, Paul.
All right. So this week, John and I are at home. Our family has left for New York. And Mike and Steve are with their family at the beach. Everyone talk about what you did last week. Someone else start with this, please.
I've been working almost every day for the past week, which sucks as always, but I mean, it's money.
But you make it sound as uninteresting as possible. It's Mike, how about you?
Same thing for John. Just been working my butt off the last week, just trying to, like, you know, only get in a couple hours each day, waiting to come to the beach, finally at the beach. So nice to have a break and get to spend 12 today.
Steven?
Of course, my dad's probably going to wake me up tomorrow at like 6 going, let's go golfing.
Steven?
Well, this past week I've just been working pretty much. Not really doing anything, just laying around working. Now I'm at the beach, as I previously mentioned. Hanging out, listening to some music. Went to a concert in Raleigh, so that was some fun stuff.
Good times. Yep. Well, I finally got in my orientation business at Ross. I've actually worked there last five nights or something. And it's money. I mean, it's a place to work. You pick up clothes and check people out. And it's pretty boring, actually. It's extremely boring. But I do it.
Welcome to work, Paul.
Well, I mean, it's not like the first time I've ever worked. It's just Ross is boring. Anyway, so without further ado, let me introduce our topics for this week. We are going to be talking about the leaked pictures of the Microsoft store. Microsoft, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll be talking about Google Wave, and bear with us because even we don't understand it all the way, but we're going to talk about it regardless. And we're going to talk about what if the Zune HD fails. We talked about the Zune HD quite a lot. And we've been thinking about what we're going to do, you know, if it comes out and it's not everything we hoped it would be. We'll be talking about a phone-free lifestyle, which is kind of a follow-up to our cable-free lifestyle. It's just another device you don't need so much anymore. And finally, a look at Verizon and what it has and what it doesn't have. All four of us are on Verizon Wireless. And so we're going to just talk a little bit about what phones they have, what kind of service they have, and why or why not we're happy with their service. So let's go ahead and start by talking about the Microsoft Store and the leaked photos or setup of what the store is going to be. Mike, you want to introduce this one?
The Microsoft Store it almost seems like there's like so many photos of it on Gizmodo. It's almost like, I don't know, Microsoft meant it to get leaked. But yeah. I think it's really interesting that they have finally, you know, come out with a brick and mortar store versus all their online stuff to rival Apple's store. They finally realized that they were maybe hurting in that market, or maybe they could, you know, compare to Apple. I think it would be interesting to see the amount of people that they get, you know, or the amount of money that they make from the stores, especially like if they build one next to Apple, you know, how many people are going to be walking into their store versus Apple. I know the prices from Apple are probably really small, but, you know, once you walk in Apple, you know, you look in there and you see the prices, and that's probably what would draw me to Microsoft, is because they probably have all these deals up there for sale. And then, yeah. You know, Apple's, of course, you know, got all their huge prices that they got in very fine print because they don't want you to see them.
Well, that's, I kind of wondered, I mean, I still kind of wonder why they're doing this, because, I mean, Microsoft, as a general overview, is a software company. You know, they have made a lot of hardware. I mean, they made the Zune, they've made the Xbox, they've made Surface and other such things, but all in all, they're a software store, whereas Apple is a software and hardware company. And if you look at the stuff, I mean, it's just odd to think that you can actually have a Microsoft store, because the stuff in an Apple store is Apple's entire line of MacBooks and Apple's entire line of MacBook Pros and MacBook Air, and then you got iPhones and iPods and iTouches and everything. So it's a lot easier for me to understand what you can sell in an Apple store than in a Windows store. I mean,
well, I think it would be better for other companies besides Microsoft, too, because, you know, like Gateway and Dell, I mean, maybe they made a deal with Microsoft saying that Microsoft would sell their products with Windows on them in the store. So they would have Dell computers, but then it would have Microsoft products on there.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking down at what they've got. I mean, they did announce that they're going to be building these, you know, right next to Apple stores. I mean, it's, you know, probably not going to be right next to, but close proximity. I mean, looking down, it's an intriguing concept. I mean, they've got
looks like something you'd see in the mall.
Well, yeah, it looks like a big. I mean, it looks, you know, they've got those Dell kiosks or whatever. This is what it seems like a big version of. I mean, they've got stuff like a big media wall, which has all sorts of screens on it, and, you know, showing off all sorts of technologies. They've got Surface demos all over the place. And just for those who don't know, Surface is their, like, touch interface table. If anyone saw, like, Quantum of Solace, the table that the MI6 used in that was inspired by Surface. I mean, just like a big table that's multi-touch, and, you know, you basically stand above it and you push pictures around and you write on it, and, you know, it acts like a regular table, but just awesome. There's a bar taking off the Genius Bar that Apple stores have, that, you know, where they answer questions for you.
I think this almost looks like it's like someone at Microsoft, you know, this is like a storyboard of ideas that they're probably going to go through with, that someone, you know, just up and scanned in, because they have like little explanations next to the pictures.
Yeah.
I think is kind of interesting. So it seems like that all this stuff is like real, that they're going to go through with this and put like everything that they say they will on the leak.
Yeah. John, I sent you the link in Skype. You had a chance to
look at this? Yeah, I had it open.
Okay. What do you think about it so far?
I mean, so far it looks pretty cool. I have not been in an Apple store, but I've walked by them a couple times.
Okay. First question for both of you. What do you think you would go in, discounting the Zune HD, would you buy something in the Microsoft store? Because looking at what they're selling, I don't think anything's going to be cheaper than $100 unless it's just like little swag items, you know? I mean, Surface is expensive.
They don't have hardware, which could, like you said, present a problem versus, you know.
I'm sure they'll have a hardware section. I mean, I almost guarantee you're going to walk into one of these stores and be hounded, and, you know, people are going to end up walking out with laptops or whatever. But I don't think it's the kind of store. I mean, you don't walk into one of these stores and just walk out with something.
I mean, the same thing with Apple. I walk into Apple, and of course, all their Macs are like $1,000. Everything in that store is like under $300.
You get a music player. Item. Well, no, because you can get an iPod Shuffle, iPod Nano, 8
gig. Well, the same
iPod
thing.
Touch.
They sell the Zunes in there, but you said with the exception of the Zune.
Because the Zune is something you would buy, but looking at all these other things, I mean, it almost seems like, I mean, what are all these in there for? Like, Surface demos are awesome. But I just don't understand why they're. I mean, Surface is cool. No, don't get me wrong, but it reminds me of like I don't know if you guys ever went to the Games Workshop store in Concord Mills, but
yes,
I know you did. But they had like these tabletop game things set up, and it seems like that. I mean, it's something you can't buy. I mean, Surface is so far Surface you can buy it, and it's $20,000 for one of these tables. So
they might.
People aren't going into the mall to buy Surface tables, that's for sure, you know.
I think it's just to test the product out, you know, like Windows 7 is going to get touchscreen. Touchscreen capable now.
Well,
so
that's a cool little thing, yeah.
They're trying to market their software, so, if, you know, maybe someone's deciding of getting Windows versus Apple, you know, software-wise, I guess I could see that. I mean, it's just...
Now, that's,
I mean,
that
if you're
walking
into an Apple
I can
store,
see that
it's just kind of one of those neat... visual stores where it's just like, oh, this is all cool and whatnot, but, you know, you're not really going to walk out there with, you know,
well, the way they would pander to people who are kind of on the fence about getting a computer or something is like, I mean, there's a couple touchscreen computers out now. I mean, HP's got one, Dell's got one and whatnot, but, I mean, if I were to walk into one of these Windows 7 or Microsoft stores and say Windows 7's on one of them and I start playing around with it touch and I'm like, hey, you know what, this works great. You know, I think I'd be much more likely not even to look at Apple because I'd be infatuated with the touchscreen business. I mean, I'm, you know, even right now, if I could be touching my laptop and stuff, that'd be awesome.
I definitely see it happening, like walking in, just kind of, you know, seeing that and testing it out and being like,
well, that's the thing, yeah.
I feel like going to buy stuff, going in to say, like, this stuff is awesome, I'll go with this company instead of the other.
I think the goal of this business is probably just to overwhelm you with what Microsoft has.
It's probably more for information than it is because, you know, so many people don't know about like the products that they're producing unless, you know, they read stuff on the internet or, you know, it has to be big to get on the actual news.
Last couple things on here, or Steven, do you want to comment at all?
Steven left the room right now. I don't think he has much to say about this.
That's fine. Well, looking down, I mean, it says they're going to be pushing Windows Media Center, Windows Mobile and netbooks.
Oh, another thing, Paul. I just saw in one of the pictures. They'll probably be selling Xbox 360s there.
Oh, well, that's probably a definite. Yeah, I wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably going to be Xbox games there. So I could see, you know, walking in that store, kind of like a GameStop looking.
Well,
maybe
Xbox.
Except GameStop has 90% PS2 junk.
No, GameStop has a lot of new stuff. They just have a lot of old games too. But I think, I mean, I'm looking at this and they're pimping the media center business. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at that, I mean, I wonder if they're going to have some people sell TVs there too. You know, because, I mean, honestly, if you're someone who has never, like let's say the last new computer you got was Dell in 2004. And you walk into a Microsoft store and they're like, hey, let's watch some Hulu on this HD TV right there, and you're like, holy crap, I had no idea I could hook my computer up. And so then you start asking, and they're like, oh, well, you don't have a graphics card or anything, you can't do that. And so you're like, all right, well, we're gonna go big, we're gonna buy these things. You know, I wonder, I mean, what it says is they're catering to someone who is, they've named Emily, who is younger than your mom, is what Gizmodo says, or, yeah. So, I mean, they're basically catering to a, what does it say?
It says they're going to have individual Xbox gaming stations, I just read, test out the Xbox.
Windows 7 servers and mobile. Well, yeah, so I mean, I think this is probably going to be an overwhelming visual and sensory experience. It's just going to be kind of a weird thing that we didn't see coming. Last thoughts on that before we move on?
I'm actually looking forward to it. I can't wait to see like how the store is going to look compared to the Apple store. I know like I'll probably, you know, nerd out when I walk in there seeing all those touchscreen displays and just like crazy computers and stuff like that, especially with the Zune HD coming out, if that turns out to be a hit.
Yeah. All right, so well, that was good. Let's move on now to Google Wave, and I'll introduce this one. I'm not going to lie. There's an 80-minute video. I have not watched it. I've only watched about half of these short videos. But to very quickly explain what Google Wave is, I'll say that it is part new email and part like new document system. Google says it's a new technology they're releasing, or a tool they're releasing later this year. Basically, what it's being known as is email as if it was designed today. And so they've made a big deal about this. You know, I mean, Google or Gmail is a great email client. And basically, they're saying that, you know, stuff like Gmail is still part of the old school of email thought, and Wave is what they want the future to be. And kind of, you know, just what would happen if we just designed this, you know, kind of electronic mail today. So looking down at some of the features that Wave has, you've got stuff like some basic stuff and then some crazy stuff. I'm going to let John, can you do inline replies real quick?
Okay. Still don't know much about it, but
Well, there's a link off Skype. You think you can do it, or do you want to do something else?
I'm going to have you cover that. I haven't read up enough on it, so...
Well, read, please. So, inline replies, first and most basic thing that Google Wave can do. And this is not... It's one of those things that's kind of like an, oh, yeah, why hasn't anyone done that before thing. And it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of Google Wave. But you know how you get an email, and let's say that it's a person asking you 6 questions, and in order to individually respond to them, you either type out something and have it in order, in order of questions, or you edit their original email when you reply, and you tab and enter and whatnot until you've got the questions separated, and then you type your answers to the questions. Google Wave is different. You highlight the question, the part you want to reply to, and you hit reply to this, and you can reply to just one part of the email. And so if someone sends me a full email asking all questions, I can respond to one part, I can respond to all parts, but they'll get it back, and it'll require no formatting by me. Google Wave takes care of that, which is pretty cool. You can comment... Oh, hold on. I'm going to go back just a bit. That all's fine and good. But let me explain what a Wave is, just real quick. A Wave is a message or document. So a Wave is what they're calling an email. They're calling an open web document. They're calling any kind of text thing that you're going to be able to modify with Google Wave is known as a Wave. So it's not a document, it's not an email, it's now called a Wave. That's what they're wanting to call it, and so I guess we'll play along for now.
I might send you a wave later, Paul.
Paul, so you're saying the inline replies to kind of, if you're not looking at it, to kind of say this, it's instead of just straight email where you have like an inbox or like, I kind of like how you explained it, I kind of think of like texting, you know, I have an inbox and an outbox, and you just like reply to someone with just one message, but like you're saying the Google Wave turns the email more into like a form thing, so that like, but then they modified it and made it better with the forms in saying that, you know, you click on one line and you can reply rather than like repeating the question in the next form.
The next topic is a big, I mean, it's like you say, as you type live updates over the internet between users. And so, you know, if you send me one of these things with a question in it and you're watching it and it's we're both using Google Wave or whatever and we can both see it, you can watch me type in my response like internet instant messaging. And so, like, for instance, without having to hit enter or anything, like, let's say we're working in this document and I give you an answer to whatever question you asked, and I just type it out, and then you erase that question above it, and you type out a new question, like, okay, well, let me answer that one now, or you add one below it. It's just, it's, you know, I need to watch the full press conference, but so far this is a very, very, very cool-sounding thing.
Why don't you talk about the documents, Paul, and how you can, you know, group edit them, so to speak, at, like, all at the same time.
Yeah, we'll skip over a lot of these things. I mean, there's a whole lot of business with live updating and, you know, replaying stuff you've done and whatnot. There's two features that I want to go over to finish this up. And one is live collaboration, and the other is contextual spell check. And, John?
Yeah.
You there? Hey, read up on the contextual spell check, all right? And you can handle that business.
Got it.
I should probably be more informed next time. Maybe we'll come back with like a greater update.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like, you know, we don't know too much about this topic.
We'll update it when we watch it and everything.
So
this
crazy.
This is just kind of the earliest thing we're talking about. Anyway, live collaboration on a single wave. Several people can edit a wave at the same time and watch each other's cursors dance around the page as it happens. That is an incredibly simple way of saying that group papers are about to go nuts. If people are using this, there's not going to be a need for like a three-step, you know, first draft, second draft, give it to the editor and he makes revisions and sends it off. What this means is that multiple people can work in the same document at the same time, see what each other's doing, and be editing a thing. So, for instance, let's say you have to write a paper for school, and you've got to write it with five people. It's a group project, and you know, you guys decide that one of you is going to do the introduction, one's going to do the, you know, first part of the body, one's going to do the second, one's going to do the third, and then one's going to do the conclusion. Well, with Google Wave, you don't have to type out in Microsoft Office, you know, or Open Office, your individual section, and then copy and paste them together and everything, and then maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work with the rest of the paper. You can all type this thing out at the exact same time. And so, you know, maybe I write an introduction that doesn't go so well with the second body portion of the paper. Well, all you have to do is rewrite your section live. I mean, it's because everyone's doing the same thing live. So what this means is basically collaborations, you know, I mean, business plans with multiple people working on them, that sort of thing is just going to get ridiculously fast because you're not going to have to finish something and send it to someone else for revisions anymore.
They're going to be able to see it.
You can all work on this thing at the exact same time. So
I think
it's crazy.
Can't you send messages, Paul?
I mean, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, yeah, if you're all editing a single wave, you can write stuff for the group to see, or you can write stuff for just one person to see, you know. I mean, let's say, you know, three of you are doing, or four of you are doing something, and and you notice one guy or two people were slacking, so you're like, hey, man, what should we do to speed them up or something?
This would be interesting if they put it with, you know, like a kind of a Skype kind of thing, so you know, you're all three talking to each other while
well,
you're
Well, hey, speaking. Google Voice.
Yeah.
Save that for next episode.
Come out
we'll give it a
everything.
Shot. Skype seems to be doing a decent job for us right now. Maybe if Google Voice has recording, then we won't have to mess around with all sorts of recorders. Anyway, I think, John, go ahead and do the contextual spell check, and then I think we'll take a little break.
So the contextual spell check is pretty much like this. It's like, why are you spell checking a word and stuff? And, you know, word spell wrong, you gotta go and pick the word out of the list pretty much. But here they show that their demo is, they type icy land in one word, is an icy land. And then it immediately corrected it to Iceland is an island, which is pretty awesome because it does it like contextually, like, you know, it figures out what you're trying to say instead of just figuring out what the word looks like. It takes the word into effect, what you've written, and then the words around it to make it turn into the word that it should be, which would be awesome for me because I, you know, misspell
so
all
the time. So it uses context clues? Like it's
AI
context clue.
And what John said, the way it looks is like Ickland is an Ickland. And so it says, well, Iceland is an Iceland doesn't make sense. Island is an island doesn't make sense. But you know what does make sense? Iceland is an island. And that is crazy.
I could see something like you were saying, Paul. You know how you say you in your blog and other things, when you're typing, you don't realize it, but you type the word where, like, as in a place,
yeah.
But then you type it W-E-R-E rather than W-H-E-R-E. And I'm thinking that this contextual, you know, would know by the context that you're trying to type where as a
that
place
would be awesome.
Rather than where. Because I know I do that all the time and then I get corrected for it. And the thing is, spell check doesn't catch those errors because it thinks you're spelling a different word.
Yeah.
Spell check only works, it doesn't work with context at all. It's just the word.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, so you guys ready to take our little break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so...
some game fuels.
We'll be back in just a few. I'm sure I'll put something of interest in the middle. we're back with ContraCast episode 6. So, yeah.
We lost some people.
I know. Steven's now asleep on the couch. I'm not really sure why we introduced him, but hey, we introduced him. And John has left because, as it were, we're at home. Mom and Dad are gone. Amy's gone, my little sister. Everyone's gone except for us and the cats. And we're pretty hungry. Gonna watch a movie later. Gonna do some chilling. You know, it's gonna be a good
some
time. Yeah. All right, so back to the show. Topic 3 for tonight is what if the Zune HD fails? And this is not gonna be a long topic, but it's just like, I was just thinking the other day, you know, we've been making a big deal about the Zune HD. And it's come to the point where if it doesn't, if it's not all it's cut out to be, I'm going to need a replacement. I want something to fill its place, you know, because I'm looking at this not just because I want the Zune HD, because I want a portable gadget that can do what this can do. So I'll go ahead and start and just say, I'm just going to set up the scenario, and then I'll ask Mike what he would do. So let's say Zune comes out September 8th. And everyone thinks it's going to be awesome. There's like 3 people who line up in line at Best Buy at midnight because those are the only people left in the world who care about Zune. and true. So you got a tiny bit of people lining up. You know, everyone's like, "Well, is this going to be Microsoft's Palm Pre? Is it going to be their you know name saving device?" And it comes out, and you know, somewhere along production, the touchscreen, it lost some of its responsiveness. We realize that the internet is not great on it. We realize that multi-touch isn't great. We realize that there's no app store and there's no plans for an app store. You know, maybe the gadget's not built that well and maybe it's overpriced. Michael, what would you do if that happened? You know, would you buy something else? Would you not do anything at all? Would you wait and see if Microsoft would fix it or what?
Right now, I'm about to get a new phone with Verizon. We'll talk about that a little later. But right now, I'm not too worried about the type of phone I'm going to get because I want to get the Motorola Calgary that has all the Android functions. But I'm not too concerned about that because the Zune HD is coming out. But if the Zune HD doesn't turn out to be all it's you know worked up to be, and it doesn't have the App Store, I don't think I would buy the Zune HD. I already have an 80 gigabyte Zune that I just use for music, and that works fine with me. I'll probably just try and get an Android phone to fill my, you know, internet, you know, usage and stuff, and my app stuff. But I highly doubt that Zune will not. I don't know about the App Store, but I highly doubt that the Zune, their multi-touch function and their technology would crash or you know fail. But if it did, I would definitely not buy it. I would definitely I would definitely go to the store and try it out to see you know whether I liked it or not. But
yeah,
I believe I would try and get a phone that would do what it's supposed to do or what I want it to do rather than you know buy the Zune HD. And I would just keep my 80 gigabyte. I was thinking about selling my 80 gig for getting the Zune HD, but I'm thinking about keeping it and maybe using the Zune HD for other usage like internet and apps.
Well, that was my plan, but my thing is, you know, I have a 30 gigabyte perfectly functioning Zune or whatever. And like we said previously, all the software is up to date. So my even though it's you know it's pretty big, it's only got 30 gigs. It does every single thing a brand new off the shelf Zune right now does. Now of course that's not going to be the same when the Zune HD comes out because of internet and everything. But you know at this point it is still a very much up to date music player. And so I think I would keep that, and I'm gonna be you know, running music in my car, playing podcasts off of that. But if the Zune HD were to come out and just totally bomb, you know, and I don't mean bomb in sales, I mean bomb in reviews and everything, I am thinking about buying an iPod Touch. And, you know, there's a certain stigma that comes with it, but I'm just looking at, you know, it's got a excellently functioning touchscreen. I mean, it's 3.5 inches across. They're now, you can find them like used and refurbished for under $200 for the 8 gig. There's over 35,000 apps, and I mean, I know a lot of those are junk, but a lot of those are good too. In September, well, there's no camera on it, so that doesn't matter. You can get Skype on your iPod Touch second generation. I mean, with calling and everything. And that's another thing. If the Zoom doesn't have any kind of voice input, I'm going to be kind of disappointed. Because honestly, the thought of being able to do Skype calls would be awesome. I mean, you know, if we could be doing this show and, you know, maybe I couldn't make it home or whatever, and so maybe I tell John to record it, but I'm out just who knows where, in my car somewhere where there's Wi-Fi, doing the show, you know, looking at links online, talking over Skype. That'd be awesome. But, you know, that's what I'm hoping the Zune HD is going to be able to do, but if it doesn't, you know, there's always the iPod Touch, so I think that's pretty much what I would do if it were to fail. Any last thoughts on that?
Well, Paul, I'm not so sure about the voice input. I know you're, you know, relying heavily on that, but
I mean, it's not going to kill it if it doesn't have it, but I think it would be so awesome if it did.
Yeah, but you can also call Skype through cell phones and landline, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like you're broken, but the thing about it would be, you know, my thing would be, you know, maybe I get Skype on there and I can open the internet, I can be on Skype, I can be doing whatever. I mean, it's not like you can't do the podcast from somewhere from with your phone, but you know, I don't know. All right. So, I guess we're done with that topic. We'll move on to, a short one, the phone free lifestyle. Last week we talked about a cable free lifestyle and what that involved and why it's finally practical not to purchase a cable plan. I mean, you can get you know, video content, HD content, whatever, over the web and over Netflix and everything at a greatly reduced cost of what you'd pay for the same content over cable. So this week we're talking about a phone-free lifestyle. And for starters, we do not mean by any means a cell phone-free lifestyle. We mean that there is no longer any need for a wall-mounted, you know, wall-plugged-in phone. What do you think about that, Mike?
I think it's the same thing to do with the cable. I know a lot of companies have, or cable companies at least, and satellite have bundled, you know, with phone and cable and internet. But to me, I think it's turning out to be that the only thing that you need through the wall really is internet. I know at college this year we have a dorm number, and every dorm has a dorm number with a phone jack for it. And all my roommates brought, you know, laptops and Ethernet cables and like TV, but no one thinks to bring a phone. And I know, yeah. My mom asked me, she's like, "Do you want to bring a phone?" I'm like, "No, I got my cell phone," because that's, everyone uses their cell phone, and I don't think anybody really uses.
I mean, we have dorm phones at App, and I'm, you know, I will now at Charlotte. But when you think about it, you're like, it used to be that you had to call from an in-town number to like get food or whatever. Not so anymore. You can just call from your cell, and so what you're left with is, well, I can make local calls free, which is, I mean, it's not a big deal anymore unless you're a really heavy talker on your cell phone, you know. And I'm not, and you're not, you know, and John's not, and Steven's not.
Those unlimited plans, you know, now.
Well, you can buy unlimited, but I mean, most people, at least in my experience, don't use that. I mean, I text a whole lot more than I talk, and I'm not a huge texter, but I just mean that, you know, I don't come anywhere near close to overdoing the minutes.
The only thing I can see using it for would be, long distance calling.
Well, that's over, the thing. Like, we couldn't
out of the country.
Yeah, maybe. Which the thing is, that's another thing we'll talk about real quick. You know, if Skype, you pay $12.99 a month, and that is ridiculously cheap compared to phone plans. And when you pay that $12.99, and that's the highest end Skype plan you pay for, and that is unlimited long distance all over the world. So, you know, and that's to landlines and cell phones. All Skype to Skype calls are free. That is to landlines and cell phones. And so, you know,
and they got Skype phones you can buy, so you don't need a computer,
exactly.
Really.
So if you think about that, you know, for instance, while call receiving would be a little hard, I mean, you could use like an iPod Touch as your primary phone for making calls. You know, if you paid for like a Skype plan or whatever, you would never have to do that. Now, as far as receiving calls, you really do need a cell phone. I mean, unless you're going to convert completely to like Google Voice or Skype, and that wouldn't function so well with a cell phone. I mean, because right now you can't set your cell phone to be always on with Skype, you know, as far as I know. You know, I don't think you can just say, well, from now on, I'm just going to always have this open and, you know, I'm going to make all my calls through this, you know.
Skype, like, if you wanted a landline phone or an unlimited around the world, you could just use Skype. But how many times are you going to call around the world?
Well, that's I don't have anybody I know in other countries.
Yeah, networks make a really big deal about, you know, connectiveness around the world. I mean, you see all these commercials for phone companies and whatever, and oh, look, there's people, you can call your brother in London, and he can call his girlfriend in Japan, and she can call the kid she knows from South Africa. I mean, really? Like, I don't know anyone who has that kind of connectiveness around the world. I mean, yeah, I guess there's a chance that one in 200 of their customers might have some sort of contact thing like that, and that's being generous. But honestly, you don't even need those around the world ones. So you're looking at paying, you know, you can get like the minimum cell phone plan for a person and add texting to that and add like a $3 a month plan to Skype, and you're coming in at around the same price you'd pay or a little more than you pay for a wall phone, and you don't need a wall phone anymore.
I mean, I'd rather pay for like the premium internet package from the cable company than pay for phone and cable at the same time. And you're just saving yourself hundreds of dollars.
And the thing is this, it would be difficult for like my family right now to convert to no phone. Because everyone's so ingrained, you know, you got your number in the phone book, you make calls, you get calls and everything on the house all the time. This sort of converting to no more wall phone is something that our generation is going to be able to do, and then future generations are going to be able to do, you know, because you have to go in with the mindset that you're just never going to get a phone and you never need one. And so, I mean, I already do this with all my job applications and college business and everything. I only give up my cell phone. You know, if they ask for a home phone, give out your cell phone twice. Unless you just, you know, need to give out the home phone or something. Because there's just not much of a need anymore to have the home phone. Because, you know, early in the days of cell phones, I mean, the thought was you bring them with you, but... You know, and even my dad and mom, they set them down at home. I mean, they don't bring them with them. If you're like me, yeah, it's always in my pocket. So I am always reachable with it.
And I can see future generations. I know you're thinking about, you know, what if they have to get hold of like younger kids or something. But I see 5-year-olds now walking around with cell phones, and I feel jealous of them. But then you think, you know, in the future, you're going to be giving your kids cell phones when they're little, and it's just
I know a lot of people are like, oh, there was a big Facebook group a while ago. Oh, you're 7 years old, you don't need a cell phone. Well, I mean, honestly, what's the harm? I mean,
it could save them from
7,
you know,
9, 11, it doesn't matter. It could save them, but then on top of that, you're just teaching them technology. I mean, I don't care how much someone doesn't need something, you know. That's one of the things about technology that you find a lot of older generations not understanding, is that they'll say you don't need it, but the thing is, once you have it, you'll find a use for it, you know.
It's much better. You don't need it, but it's much better.
Well, and even with like the Zune and stuff, when I bought it, I was like, well, I mean, CDs work and everything. It's not the same. It's not like you'll get it and then all of a sudden you don't need it. You'll be setting it down, you know. You start utilizing the features of it, and you start listening to podcasts over it, and you start, watching.
You feel more connected.
Well, yeah, you just get there with technology. Anyway, I guess we'll...
I think we went on, yeah, a little
yeah, we,
too...
Yeah, we went on a little bit too long.
But we can just merge it right into Verizon.
We will. This is the last topic of the show, people. So enjoy it. if you'll give me just a second to converse with my brother who just arrived. All right, and I'm back once again. My brother just arrived with the delicious and always unhealthy Taco Bell. So, last topic of the show is our look at Verizon Wireless and our thoughts about that. So, Mike, start us off.
Verizon is, they're a very good company. They're organized. We use them all the time. But one thing I can't stand about them is the amount they charge for everything. Their plans are ridiculously expensive. They want to back charge you for everything. I accidentally get on the internet with my crazy spastic Glide phone, and they charge me $10 every time I do that by accident. My dad gets pissed at me every time he sees the bill, but because they want to charge you for their stupid VCast stuff, which is another thing I hate. They try to replace the software and all the phones with their crazy good VCast stuff, so you can download music and videos and just, it just bothers the crap out of me. I'm not really thinking about switching to AT&T because we're on my dad's plan and stuff like that. Yeah. But another thing, the one thing I really want to talk about with Verizon is the type of phones they have. And they just never seem, they always seem to get the short end of the stick on the phones.
Yeah.
And every time I get a new phone, I get excited, but then not really, because every phone they have just seems to be just a letdown.
And yeah. So, first off, Verizon, biggest cell company in the United States, over 87 million subscribers. They got a lot of phones, not a whole lot of cool phones. For some reason they've got the largest, but I don't know who makes the decisions in their company, but whoever makes them is not good at making them at all. Apple approached Verizon first about the iPhone. And so Verizon, I mean, they're trying to scrape up the remains.
They're like, we can't put VCast on that. People get free internet. Oh no, we can't block everything. They won't want us to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's looking like in the next year or so, Verizon's finally going to get up to speed. I mean, they're looking at getting the iPhone in the next quarter one, 2010. They're looking at getting the Pre in January. The Motorola Calgary will be the first Android phone on Verizon. And of course, they have lots of Blackberries. Their biggest unique phone is the Blackberry Storm, which received a whole bunch of so-so reviews. And that's
Storm
that
was coming out supposedly by the end of the quarter.
Yeah,
I highly doubt that though.
So, all right. So let's just look down at the kind of phones, you know, what they've got on Verizon. They've got the whole range of phones that every other company does. But I don't know what it is about Verizon. They just they're lacking in something. They try to market phones that are just garbage, and the phones that aren't bad, they try to sell you for ridiculously high amounts. I just got interrupted. I'm looking down their list of phones. They on their cell phones. This is not smartphones, not touchscreen, whatever.
I can't see all their cell phones, Paul.
I'm looking down their list of cell phones. Oh, I'm not on Phone Arena. I'm on Verizon website right
now.
Oh,
if you're on Verizon, they don't have the list of all the phones. They don't have the Glide on there, I don't think.
Well, they don't have some, but they have a lot. So I'm looking down, and it's just they have really, what is it? Oh, Gizmodo calls these dumb phones, and it's the opposite of a smartphone. It's a phone that pretends to be everything that those phones can be, and it does everything it does horribly. And a good example of this is what's it called? Oh, my little sister's phone, the NV2. The way it's set up is to make you think you're using a smartphone. You've got the front is kind of reminiscent of a BlackBerry. It's got a full keyboard. It's got a big screen inside. It's got a web browser and stuff. But the thing is, web's terrible on it. It's not built for it. It runs really bad. The texting's bad. Typing's bad. And so you end up with this phone that is just like, marketed to have all these features and ends up having really lousy quality everything. So I'm looking down at the different phones. You got all sorts of these clamshell flip phones. You got a handful of sliding phones. And the guy at Verizon, last time I talked to them there, he told me that there was no way he would ever buy one of those because whatever, and he just said he's talking all-inclusive. Now, of course, all-inclusive is ridiculous because phones like the G1 that received excellent hardware reviews use slides and they don't fall apart. The guy at Verizon tells me that, you know, people buy these and within a week they come back in with their phone in two pieces. There's something seriously wrong with whoever approves the stuff for Verizon. If they're approving things that that the employees tell me breaks apart in no time at all. You know, I'm looking down. I mean, the phones right now, they're really trying to sell these new Motorola Rivals. Good grief, they've gone down a ton. At first, when they came out, they were about $80. Then they went down to $50. Right now, I'm looking at them online. They are $30, which tells you something about what's happened with them trying to sell the Rival as an excellent phone. You know, I guess no one's buying into it. Looking down the NV2, you know, honestly, there's only a handful of phones that look any good to me at all on the current cell phones lineup for Verizon. Looking down the Samsung Sway doesn't look bad. It's a thin slide phone.
It just seems like they're starting to, you know, like get into the phones that, you know, everybody wants, but they're just not quite there yet.
And well, they're getting phones that were, I mean, if you look at their phones, they haven't changed much in years.
I know, they're getting better, though, I think.
Well, the NV3 looks good.
The NV Touch
looks pretty good. The Alias 2 is pretty cool. It's got some e-ink keys, which are pretty nice. But that's just a handful of their phones. And they've got so much junk in here that is just, it's clamshell after slide and, you know, poorly built. And it doesn't make sense to me. The big trend on all sorts of companies right now is what the Rival was aiming for. And that is a slide or an open keyboard phone that can be oriented vertically or horizontally. And this is all over, if you look at all the other American networks, this is like the big thing. It's these texting phones. And for some reason, Verizon just doesn't do it. I mean, that's, you know, as dumb as some of them want, that's kind of what I want right now. And, you know, looking down this list, you just got phones with minimal keys and minimal function after the same phone after the same phone. Then as far as other phones go, we're looking down at the PDAs and smartphones that they have. You know, it's Verizon, so what I mean by that is that they gimp their phones when they give them to us. If you look at Blackberries on other networks, every Blackberry on every other network has Wi-Fi. And, of course, you have to be an idiot not to know what that is, but you get on wireless internet with your phone for fast internet, and maybe you don't have to pay for the phone company's slow over-the-air internet. Verizon requests that BlackBerry remove the Wi-Fi capability, and if they don't do it, they cut it off themselves, and so you are forced to pay a $30 fee for any kind of these smartphone, any one of these smartphones, and that's $30 a month extra just because you get one of these. It's called the Unlimited Data Plan or the BlackBerry Email Data Plan or something, and it's just because they won't give you anything free. It is a $30 a month extra, so that's, you know, like half of a plan, you know, for a person. And it's not, I'm not saying the iPhone or something is cheap or free, but, you know, that's a whole lot of money just because you want a better built and a more functional phone than one of their dumb phones. What do you think about that, Mike?
I can't stand it when Verizon, you know, just wants to, like, become a software company rather than a cell phone company. And like I said, probably in one of the other podcasts, I would prefer it paying, you know, like maybe I'd rather pay $400 for a cell phone that has the full capabilities on it and then pay for the service than pay $200 and get a 2-year plan through the service. I'd rather buy the phone from a different company and then have it work on any, you know, plan or anything through Verizon. I can't stand what they do to it as far as the software. They always want to dump it down and make it so that you have to pay for everything. And see, that's the thing about Verizon. They have a great network, but they like to nickel and dime you, or like, you know, dollar you for everything. Yeah. It just seems ridiculous to me. As far as the crappy phones you're talking about, Paul, I think we're starting to see a change in the amount of the good phones that they're getting. I've seen that they have I know the Samsung Omnia is on a Sprint network.
Well, that's
and other networks, but you can get it through Verizon, but you have to special order it. It's a CDMA Omnia, and that just seems like one of the good phones on there. Another good phone, like you were said, you were looking at the Rival, and I'm looking at Phone Arena comparing phones. The Envy that your sister has is the Envy 2.
Yeah.
It's a little better than the Envy 1, and it has smaller buttons on the front, but it's not as good as the Envy Touch. The Envy Touch just seems to be getting like really good ratings. I see a 9.1 review base from the users and a 9 from the company of Phone Arena. And then the Motorola Rival, like you were talking about, it got a 6.5 out of 10. And they rate everything as far as like the camera and like the how big it is and how it feels and like how functionality of it and the touch screens especially. That's the one thing that I'm really pissed about. I know the Samsung Glide, I wanted that so bad because it just seemed like the perfect phone that I wanted with the full query keyboard that slid out and had a touchscreen. It was supposed to, you know, I know Gizmodo talked about the phones that were supposed to be the iPhone killers, and that was one of the phones that just turned out to be a complete disaster, and it has like a stigmatism when you try to use it. It's the worst phone. I know they're coming out with the Glide 2, but they're calling it the Samsung Rogue. And I'm thinking about getting that one because it's supposed to get released in August. I'm waiting to see how it does with the reviews. It's supposed to be slightly bigger and hopefully fix everything.
Yeah.
If not, I might wait for the Calgary, which is the slidey full query keyboard that looks kind of like the Razer keyboard, and then it has like the Android platform, but I'm not sure if that's going to come out this year. If not, then I'm really looking at the Envy Touch, because the Envy Touch looks to be a good solid phone on Verizon. I don't mean to totally bash Verizon's phones, but the Envy Touch seems like a good, you know, phone. It seems like they've definitely improved from the giant grandma buttons that your sister's phone has on it.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm seeing good reviews for the touchscreen, and that people are actually, you know, liking it rather than it. To me, it just looks like a longer version of the LG Dare, but only with a flip open keyboard. Now, if it was a slidey phone, I would have no problem buying this phone, because it has it has 3 buttons rather than 1 button. Rather than just a home button on the front, it has a send and end button on it.
Yeah,
which is, I can't stand that on the Samsung Glide when I'm in a call, and it always has to cover up the end button or the send button with, like, you know, whenever you type in a number, it wants to do other things with it, so I have to press the home button like 6 times to get back to the main menu.
All right, so in conclusion, I'll just wrap up. I mean, as much as we hate Verizon, it has pretty much the best coverage in the United States. 2 years ago, I took a trip across the whole country and into Canada and everywhere, and I never, the only place I ever lost reception was actually going like through tunnels, or not even through tunnels, it was going around the mountains in the Rockies. And we had reception everywhere else. It was great. It's just that I don't understand why they have such a huge subscriber base, and yet they really make no attempt or no quality attempt to sell us any kind of phones of value. And they try to market the Dare as an excellent phone, and that's a joke, and all sorts of other things like that. But in closing, I think we're done with that. I know I'm kind of getting hungry for that delicious food and whatnot.
Well, I'm kind of, in closing thoughts, Paul, I'm kind of interested to see. the only phones that I've had through Verizon are, I haven't had any 3G phone, and I know you haven't had any 3G.
The Glide's 3G.
Oh, the Glide's 3G?
It's just the Glide's garbage. So, I mean, you don't use it for internet or whatever, and so it's not, you know, you're not paying for that, and so you're not using the 3G features. I mean, 3G refers to the network speed, you know?
That's what I was thinking.
Anyway, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up. And we'll be back next week, next Saturday/Sunday or whatever. Au revoir. I'm sure I'll put something of interest after the show. Mike, last words?
Just keep on listening and give us your comments. And just we're kind of having some, well, not really hard times finding topics, but more of topics that are less technology oriented. So give us your thoughts on those.
Yeah, if you could, as far as it's going, I mean, we're kind of turning into stuff we're interested in podcasts, but it's not like we're only interested in tech, but I don't know, we kind of end up coming across that way, just because it makes for something we can talk about a lot. If there's anything else you guys want us to talk about, we'd be more than happy to. And another thing is, we thought about doing like a local business, but the thing is, with the internet, I mean, we can't guarantee that we're getting, almost anyone from the local area. And so it's kind of dumb for us to do that. I mean, we could spend time talking about local landmarks and stuff, and in the end, one out of 10 of the listeners is going to get a chance to even experience those. So I don't think we're going to talk about that. But anyway, we'll see you all next week. We'll see you as the hits or the downloads that the podcast gets. Have an excellent week.